Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the land that we live in. With its beauty and its bounty, help us to hold fast to all that is good and holy in this land and all that pertains to you. In Jesus' name, amen. When I went to Africa quite a few decades ago, it was a big experience. I landed in Equatorial Africa and I walked down the steps from the plane and oh, how the heat just hits you. It was even more intense than our Central Valley heat. Yes, and all went well through customs, and then there was the health inspector. Of course, I had my immunizations in order, but the date on the yellow fever inoculation, where it was stamped, was smeared. I was told how to correct this. At least it was correctable. And so I needed a new yellow fever vaccination from the airport nurse for a fee, and then the inspector wanted me to donate $200 to the inspector's nephew for his college fund. And his nephew was standing right there, not 10 feet away. That was my only choice. I did not want to get sent back to America or some other country. So I had a choice to make. That was my first experience with some sort of corruption in a governmental system. I look back to America and I think, what an amazing land. America is amazing, and we thank God for our heritage. We pray for good and righteous neighbors. God and prayer is a part of America's history. Some can remember 50 years ago to Superman. Or maybe you just read some older Superman comic books. Do you remember the saying, "Truth, justice, and the American way"? Well, it was easy to say that back in those days because it represented a true concept, which reflected a common ideal. You could be a citizen of any country, now or then, and want to have truth and justice, plus the best values of whatever that country had and lived in. I think those good values pretty much follow Christian ideals. And maybe, just a maybe, America followed those ideals a little bit better than other countries. The other lands were goodness, had goodness too. They had prosperity, and they had lots of wonderful qualities. But I think that the people who came to this country wanted things a little better. So America certainly was not perfect in those days in the 1950s when Superman proclaimed truth and justice in the American way. But today, America is far less desiring to have those ideals. My, what 60 years does. Often enough younger people, will proclaim America is no longer any better than any other country. In fact, they just might say, America's not even good. And we just hide our, they will say that we just hide our ugliness better. That's what they might say, but I've traveled a lot, and I can tell you that's not true. America is a good country, And that's true then, and that's true today, even with our moral decline. I still see there's very much good in America, and I want to underline that, very much good. And in other countries, too, there's lots of good, very much good. But it's just plain different. In many countries, if you want to do business in that country, you must pay somebody. Some people would call it a bribe. Some people would call it a gift or a gratuity. But you have to make payments to do business in other countries, and that's just the way it is. It's ordinary to their life. It doesn't happen so much here in the United States, but in some big cities, it still does exist. Like, if a cop pulls you over in some of those larger cities, it's just a common practice to have a $10 bill tucked behind it. And at least half the time, the money gets handed back to you with a comment like, oh, this must have gotten stuck to your license. So, all sorts of different things happen, and maybe you've heard stories of other countries, some of them maybe south of the border, maybe on another continent, but we hear the stories where somebody gets a ticket and it costs them $100 or even $200 just to clear the ticket. Pay the court costs. You have to pay the court costs. And by the way, the policeman can accept your payment with cash or a credit card. And then if you can't pay, you go to jail. And if you go to jail, it might cost you $500 to get out. And if you go before that, you can double that amount. Things are just different in other countries. And justice is for sale, or the lack of justice. I've heard of the cases where if you're in prison for a murder, now murders are serious, so the bare minimum would be $30,000 to have a judge declare something and have you get out. If it wasn't a well-known case, and if it wasn't anything serious. After all, the judge's job could be on the line for such a serious offense. So you could even add a zero to that, and sometimes those are the kind of monies that get paid to the judges. So I hear. I've never done it, but I've talked to people who are familiar with the situation. Aren't you glad we live in America where none of this goes on? Well, I mean, not really. It kind of does. And going back a few decades, I was in the Bay Area, and I did some construction work. Pretty often I had big projects or little projects, and I never had paid anything like a bribe. I would not have even conceived that that was a possibility. But then I had a nice talk with a fellow. I'd known him for years. But somehow this subject just came up, and he felt comfortable to talk, and I felt comfortable to listen. And we talked about this subject. I didn't have anything to say, but he did, because I wasn't familiar at all with bribery. And I found out about business people I knew and political people I knew, inspectors I knew. I knew all these people, and I had no idea that they did these things. So, with the details that were provided, I could understand that things were naturally falling into place, and I could understand that by what he was saying and the things that I knew, that it just made so much sense. And I had no idea, no idea whatsoever, that gifts and nice dinners and a Tahoe weekend and a vacation or an airline ticket, those were given as gifts. And somehow they got a little bit of leniency on what they were doing. And I had no idea. Nope. So, and like I said, I knew the stories. I knew when they had come back from their vacations, but I had no idea about any of the other of it. I'd heard about stories about them going out to dinner someplace. I never put it together that it came from a gift from somebody who wanted a little leniency on their project. So it just makes me understand how these things could surely be going on at any levels of power and authority. Yeah, we could call that government. Any levels of government. So I've had a little bit of life experience, and I can see that things are not what they appear. Oh, isn't that the truth? So when I hear some news about some high-up person who did something or didn't do something or had some kind of an involvement, I just have a little bit more intuition about what's going on, because I had no idea these things were going on, and then, what do you know, I find out they were. So I sure look at things different these days. I look at things about how those high-up officials would have voted for something. Did they vote for something or vote against something? Does their voting history indicate that they would have voted for something and didn't, or the opposite? Well, I just have a whole nother idea about how this level of corruption works, because I was exposed to it and I had no idea. But don't we all want to look now and to see how there are these indications of corruption? Yes, and as you become aware of it, you get to see that it is more widespread than you ever would have guessed, more widespread than I ever would have guessed. And that is why there is so much sentiment these days when they have the idea to drain the swamp, you know, quote, drain the swamp, unquote. People recognize it. People have had experiences. All sorts of people recognize that there is a certain depth to the corruption in our nation. even if they don't have the same stories or details that I do, they still know something. They recognize that there is a level of corruption. I still don't like it. I still want to do something about it. And I applaud everyone who is doing something about it. Good for you. And sometimes the only thing we can really do is to pray. Pray for holiness and pray against unholiness. That's the biggest thing we can do sometimes. And sometimes we can always or also live for holiness. We can live in a way that reflects our opposition to evil. Just think back to right around that 1 Peter 1:16. Be ye holy, for I am holy. It's in the Word. I think that is a good goal, and sometimes it's the best we can muster is to pray, and sometimes we can actually do something. And we want to do something. Stand up for holiness. Yes. Do the very best you can. And you know what the very best is. Oh, and so does God. Yes, you and God, you both know what your very best is. So have that in mind, that that is exactly what you want to do. The very best you can. In life, there seems to be always some level of corruption. In society, there's some level of corruption. And of course, in government, there is some level of corruption. Really, there's no surprise here. The surprise here is when that corruption that we recognize actually affects our life. Because we don't think of it about We don't think about it as affecting our lives personally, but it does. And when it does affect our lives personally, we kind of get surprised, we kind of get offended. Yeah, it's too bad that we don't get so surprised and offended when our neighbor gets hurt. Wouldn't it be nice if neighbors had that kind of compassion for each other? Remember, there's the commandment there. Love thy neighbor as thyself. I think that's a pretty good Bible quote. And you know, it's not just there. That was regarding the great commandment in the Old Testament, love your neighbor as thyself. But it's also in the New Testament. Remember in John 15:12 and John 14:21? It's there. They're both places. And Jesus tells us, it's Jesus who is saying that this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Just think about it. That's a lot of love. He loved us enough to go to the cross for us. Yes, and wow. And how could we even think to love someone else that much? Well, we want to. And I think about care and compassion for their eternal salvation. We want to care for people. And maybe we don't know what the exact correct words are to say to a person and about having Jesus and them have that born-again experience. And maybe it's good that you don't have the exact words, because that would get to be like a formula. Remember, Jesus hardly ever used a formula. No, he really didn't. He hardly ever used the same thing twice to heal someone. So we might want to consider that it's good for us to have that flexibility as we relate to people. And always do things with prayer. Consider also and listen to the Holy Spirit. I think those are two things that are just so important. Yep. And we have things in this life that are not what we want. They're not pleasant to have corruption. But how do we deal with it? How would Jesus deal with it? Or how would Jesus call on us to deal with it? Injustice is all around us. Who has not dealt with a wrong? We've all been hurt and mistreated, every one of us. In little ways, like a store manager improperly ignoring us, maybe giving preferential treatment to someone. Maybe it was their relative, we don't know. Yeah, and I remember once upon a time when I was just married long ago, there was a drunk driver who sideswiped 8 cars on our street, and 3 of the sideswipes were dismissed by the district attorney. Our car was one of those 3s which the case was dismissed against. So I found out that there was nothing I could do. That was the way it was. It was unjust, and I found out that there was nothing I could do, and the person at the attorney's office, district attorney's office, said, they didn't say it, but I couldn't ever reach them, but I found out there was just no option. That was just the way it was. And many times people have situations which they can do nothing about, and they hurt. There are deep hurts that people have, personal hurts that people have. And what? We are commanded to forgive? Yes, we are. Eventually, we want to recognize that unforgiveness hurts us much more than it hurts that other person. So how should we handle, let's call them crimes or injustices against us? What if there's a traitor? What do we do if we, the people, find out that there's a traitor to our nation? What do we do? Well, about our nation, that's a little different, because our government is called upon to impose and enforce justice for those who harm society or government. That's the law of the land. So somehow we get to deal with it the just and the unjust. To this very day, we have traitors in our government, and many of them are guilty of breaking their oaths. This is addressed in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's wrong to break our oath, and there are serious consequences, and sometimes they're even deadly. Do you remember that was a while back. Benedict Arnold. That was well over 200 years ago, or a little over. And he was a traitor to America at the time of the American Revolution. People recognized him as a traitor, a traitor to the government, and it was never forgotten. We remember to this day. But somehow today, the serious betrayals that are done to us and our government, to all sorts of people in the government, our intelligence agents have been betrayed. Our national security has been betrayed, and the stability of our financial system has been betrayed. All these things, there are betrayals, and it is a form of being a traitor. So think about it. These serious betrayals do happen in every aspect of life to everybody. They really do. And yeah, that includes our most fundamental problem, which is not pursuing God and His holiness. That's really what we're supposed to do. That's the most basic thing to do. Pursue God and His, righteousness. I believe it says both in different places. And we need to hold our government officials, all of them, especially our high government officials, to a high standard of morality. Yes, we do. We would not be in this mess today if we had been holding our officials to a high moral standard. And you've noticed how many people will talk about the mess our country is in. So many people recognize it. People can see that because of the way things have gone, we are going to have some really significant trouble coming to our country. The numbers of people who see this is only increasing. There's several reasons for this. One of them is to do with their personal financials, with assets and incomes and credit. That situation is deteriorating. Our money situation is deteriorating. Our governmental situation with money is also deteriorating. I don't need to tell anybody that our savings rate is at a new low and that our credit, which is debt, is at a new high. All of this is a threat to each one of us personally. We are in a very precarious position. Everyone in the country, I think, recognizes this, but what are we going to do? I think that we need to have some holiness in our awareness. We want to have morality, and we want to hold people to a high, holy, or moral standard. We can see our economy is decaying, and we don't like it. And so what do? I just said it. We live holy, we live righteous, and we take the steps to live holy and righteous. If we can't do it all the time, we still take steps towards it. And there's nothing wrong with voting out the people who do not uphold moral values, and there's nothing wrong with voting in the people that do uphold the best biblical values. I also suggest voting out anyone who has had a part in putting this nation further into debt. You know, with our $20 trillion national debt, a very serious problem. We are going to have to pay that back. We the people are. It's not a debt to the government. The debt to the government is secured by we the people. We are the ones who owe the debt. $20 trillion of debt. And we pay $266 billion of interest on that. Now that's a lot of money to pay for interest. And if the interest rate goes up, which we can be pretty sure it will, the amount we pay for interest as a country, as a nation, will increase. There's lots of people who are concerned. There's lots of people who say the system cannot stand this. It's going to crash. And you can look at history. Every country that has done this has crashed. Lots of countries, almost everyone that has ever been in existence, has not managed their money well, and their economy crashes. Typically, it happens and their money is no longer good. They have to have a new money. So it's happened plenty in the last 20 years, in the last 200 years, in the last 2,000 years. But somehow we don't look at it. It's not pointed out to us because we're not educated about that part of money. Yeah. So which one will be the straw that breaks the camel's back? When will it happen? We don't know. It's just a little bit of a question. And I told you in past broadcasts that people from all classes, including the very most elite, including people at the top of government, are taking steps which are needed for preparedness in case our world economy collapses. Yeah, they see it. There's other people who see it too. There's people, plenty of people, who are making preparedness actions, anticipating that there's a possibility of collapse. More people every day are seeing this, and there's a number of people who feel that they need to justify their position, and so they do. They look at the big picture situation and the little picture situation. They are concerned, and they tell people about it. So that's what I think a good thing to do is. We tell people about what we see. If people see it, they see it. If they don't, they don't. And really, I think the best thing we can do is turn to God. Because as we turn to God, we start acting in a way that is within God's will. And that includes the morality, and that includes the way we deal with money. All of it. It's a good thing. Turn to God. And that way you won't be so inclined to be deceived either, because we all are. We all have a little bit where we're told something, we want to believe it, and it turns into something more. It's just increasing. So look to faithfulness to God. Seek His righteousness. Yep, do that. I get surprised at the number of people who recognize that there is some kind of a disaster they see is hitting the United States this year. Well, I see it's possible, but I sure wouldn't say it's this year, even though I could very easily believe that it would be. There's secular people who look at this from a secular viewpoint, and there are Christian people. They see it from a Christian viewpoint. There's lots of people who have suffered, and they see that they would suffer more if there was a financial crash, because there's all sorts of things going on in the world. We see them, and that can be from a volcano. Yeah, think of that one in the Philippines, Mount Mayon. And it's going on right now. There were 81,000 people who were evacuated from that area. That's a lot. Things happen. Remember the tsunami in Japan, 2011? 23,000 people died from that. That's another thing that has gone on. Another is that 2004 Indonesian tsunami. It was caused by that earthquake. 230,000 people died from that one. A lot of people. It doesn't compare to the 800,000 who were died. They died in the 1938 Yellow River flooding. The Chinese government did not want the Chinese to invade their land, so they opened up the dams and dikes and they flooded the area so the Chinese wouldn't come in. 800,000 Chinese died because they did that. And 4 million people were displaced. It was huge. See, these things happen in history. And even that doesn't compare with the 11 and 17 million people who died at the hands of the Nazis in the war camps. And then you look at what other people died in the World War II. A total of between 50 and 70 million people died as a result of that war, from war or starvation. The numbers are just huge. So we have things that can happen, and I think it only makes sense to realize things can happen. But what gets our attention? The local issues, and they should too, but let's not forget the big issues. We can deal with the little. They're little to some people, and they're not little to others, like the Trump-Russian dossier. That's one thing that has happened recently. There's a significant concern about that FISA court information that Congress has. It could show some pretty significant corruption with that. And what about the FBI director, Comey, and the FBI, I forgot his position, but struck, you know. There were things that were pretty sure to be an illegal investigation. And those things happened right here. Yes, we can be concerned, but it's nothing like the millions of people who have died from real wrong things, real immoral behavior. The things that we are seeing in our country probably won't kill you, but things can happen. They can move right along real quick. We should pay attention to the signs of distress all around us. One of the signs of distress was our presidential State of the Union address. And it was just so divided. Can you see how divided our nation is when we see that the Democrat half of all the people in the world, in that room, in the representatives, would not stand for our national anthem? Well, it hurts to see America so divided, so evenly divided in half. This is something that, well, it might not kill us, but it surely would weaken us. And that is how people are weakened, by that philosophy of divide and conquer. So things go on, and it's not nice. Surely it doesn't compare to not being without food, but being without food is another thing. That we can do something about. Hunger and starvation we can do something about for our personal situation, because we can store up. We can have some supplies in case there is a war or a natural disaster. Yeah, each one of us can do something on that level to store up. You know, that Great Depression of the 1930s, it has been estimated that 7 million Americans died from a lack of food during that Great Depression. I don't want anyone to die of starvation. So if you are one of those who believes that government will feed you, well, I don't agree, but you have that right. I think that the government really has no food, and they certainly cannot give you what they don't have. So I think the best answer is for you to store your own food. That just is logical. I like grains because they last such a long time. Grain is the simplest answer for me. Of course, you'll need a few things with it to make bread, and this is just for the just-in-case situation, wheat, sugar, oil, salt, and spices, and vitamins, and your manual wheat grinder. There's just a few things. That will just give you a little comfort for just in case things really do go bad. You can't tell if they will or if they won't, but they might. Remember that FEMA says that the average person will need 270 pounds of wheat in 1 year if that is your primary food. 270 pounds of wheat in 1 year. I think people need a bit more than that, but that's what FEMA says. And then get a few things to go along with it, like I just mentioned. So, these days there are people who are wondering about if a big event is coming. How do we decide on that one? I don't know, but I think it makes sense to think about it. Think about it. Think about our financial situation, because that's one of those things. Well, I've been following it for many years, and all I see is the symptoms get more and more dangerous. Our debt is dangerous. Our credit limits are dangerous. And that's for us personally, or the country. It's right along the same lines. We could see other things happening, like the stock market could have a plunge, the banking currencies could have a plunge, and it would affect all the international monies. This could be a worldwide event. I know there's a few people who disagree, and they say, oh, our national debt is nothing. We could even double it and have everything work out okay. Yeah, that's what they say. They also say that they wouldn't be surprised if they saw a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin, if it was to go to 50,000, they wouldn't be surprised. Well, I don't agree with this position, but certainly I consider these things. It's fun to hear people talk about them. I don't agree, but you can do it. Just think about the things that could happen. And I know one of the things I think about is always the danger of EMP from the sun, solar mass ejection, or an EMP, which is electromagnetic pulse from a nuclear weapon. Well, that would leave our whole nation without electricity. It really would. We would have no electricity in the whole nation, and our cars probably wouldn't work either. But even if we made it to the store, we couldn't buy anything. Their cash registers don't work. Things don't unlock. It's just a huge, huge problem. So, remember there was the report to Congress that said, if that happened, over half of our nation would probably die within a year. Well, it's just takes consideration. There's other viewpoints that people say that nothing will happen as long as Donald Trump is in office, that our economy will not fail and we will have no disasters. Besides, we are supporting Israel, so what could happen to our nation? Well, maybe we do have 7 years of good times to go, and maybe we don't. But if you have your just-in-case supplies, it surely is comforting. Get them while you can. Have a plan. Work at it slowly. That's the way that almost everybody does. I did. So yes, we want to ask God to bless America and our leadership. Certainly, we do. And in a way, who could have a better leadership than President Trump? Because he has seen bankruptcies, and our nation could go bankrupt with our national debt. It surely could. So, indeed, he might be just the man to have an office. Yeah, he's dealt with bankruptcies in the past. Now, Christians are also speaking up on the economic or financial concerns we have. There's not a uniform opinion. Some people who seem to be pretty strong Christian believers, they do talk about dates, and they talk about 2018. They have very interesting analysis. They do a lot of work at it, and there's a logic to what they present. I surely can't say that I agree with it, but it is interesting that so many Christian people are looking at 2018 as having a major problem sometime between March and November. Those are what the votes go in for. There's no uniformity, though, so that gives me pause to consider that as a real thing. But it's good to look critically, and it's good to see what we can see. Maybe trouble is coming. Maybe it's multiple events. And I just remind you to have the comfort of having some supplies. And if you don't know when anything's going to happen, you can have those long-term simple supplies that are relatively inexpensive: wheat, oil, sugar, and salt. Get a wheat grinder and a few items like vitamins and spices. So everybody starts someplace, and maybe it's just with that 5 pounds of rice, 5 pounds of sugar, and 5 gallons of water. So pretty soon that gets to be 25 pounds. And we all start someplace. The important thing is to start. And plans are a really good thing, too, to see where you can go and what you can do. America is getting more volatile, and volatility is not a good thing. Volatility is not good for our society or for our economy or for the divisions in this country that are getting stronger and stronger. There's contrasts, there is conflict, and we just have to be careful. Things that happen which could surprise us, they surely could. The people in high places appear to have conflict also, personally and as they represent the people. It is difficult. It is difficult to see the spreading immorality and ungodliness in among our power structure in the country and our citizenry. And I've heard people say, our entire government is not bad. No. No government agency is entirely bad. Well, I've heard him say that. But as I look back on my work experience, I think of the times when you have had, or I have seen, a boss who was immoral. And what happens? It kind of infects the whole work structure, and everybody gets a little bit immoral. So we have immorality at high places. I pray that President Trump is very moral. He appears to be. But there's people who have different opinions, and these different opinions are dividing the country. So we do want to pray for the very top of our organizations, whatever they are, at work, in government, at everything. We want to pray for a high moral character of anybody in positions of power and influence. Yes, we do. Whether it's our personal boss or our political leaders. Yes. A high moral character means practicing God's holy principles. Look at our history. We want to have those high moral principles. We want to teach strong biblical ethics. Those are the ones that we end up liking. We like to deal with people who have them. We need to pray for other people, pray for our country, and we want things to turn out. They do. According to God, He knows the right answer. Read your Bible, yes. Pray accordingly. See what's in His will. It's pretty interesting for me to see that the Bible does not change. The world changes, but the Bible does not. So that's a part of the world that we deal with. Changing times. Changing lots of things. We look at the technology. Look at smartphones. Look at how much information we can store on those smartphones. We can ask questions to the smartphones, and they answer back. We can even ask a question like, does God exist? Yeah, they have answered that question differently over the years. So we interact with smart, computerized, smart everything. We do have to be careful with how we interact. We want to make sure we still have a personal relationship with people. those are good. We want to maintain good character and be a good helper along the way. The computer systems, they seem to be what you would call a good helper. There are robots all over the place that are helping humanity. And now they're even talking back and looking like humans. I don't know if you've seen it, but I have. There have been times now and again when it just looks like somebody is behaving like a robot and they get stuck on something and they repeat their motion, repeat their words, put their head in the podium. All sorts of things just look like a robotic malfunction. Do we have robots in our world? Yes. Do they look like humans? Yes. What can they do? We are finding that out. All sorts of things are happening, and we have to be cautious and prepared. We have to just be a part of it all and be a righteous part of it all. I've seen these things happen on the videotapes where all of a sudden in the middle of a presentation, something just seems to go haywire. Is that a person? Is that a robot? We don't know, but somebody gets quickly escorted away by a number of assistants. They are escorted or carried off of the presentation area. I don't know the answer, but it sure is interesting to see. No one gives a reasonable explanation to what happened. It's just you see these things, and they kind of stick in your mind anyway. They do mine. Obviously, something has happened, and we don't get a meaningful explanation. So we are left to draw our own conclusions, just like we do with all of life. We draw our own conclusions. We have so much technology that we have to deal with it. We have to interact with it. And have a good recognition. Have our senses work for us. Pray for discernment. Yeah, there's all sorts of things that are going on with our new technology. Images can be projected. Yeah, I think I'll talk about that for a minute. We do want to have the basic technology with which are what we need to live. That's seeds, tools, and just being able to grow our own food. But there's also situations that are going on which we see evidence of. We see them on the television somehow or another, where they are manipulating the air and the electrical fields. And it can be so that we can see the image, a holographic image, show up someplace. They show these off. These images can be turned on and off, and the electrical fields, as I was just saying, can be manipulated so that we actually have the sense that we're touching whatever is in front of us, whether it's a big fish or a soft, cuddly animal. It seems like we can reach out and touch it because it has that sense and a certain resistance to it. We know from what we've heard that there can be giant images projected, and I know I've talked about that before. They can be projected in the sky. So if there are all these images that can be projected, what can we really believe? I think we need the Holy Spirit. I really do. The military has secret special projects, and that's a part of DARPA. DARPA stands for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and it is a part of the Department of Defense. And they have all sorts of things going on. How many people have asked? I know in the last 5 years there's been a whole lot more people asking about those planes that disappeared into the World Trade Towers. How could that have been real with no pieces of plane falling to the street? How could they have gone through those steel girders? It doesn't make sense. Were they holograms? Wow, it sure is hard for me to believe. I really resisted it. I still do resist it. But I recognize with the technology that's gone on, it's a possibility. It really is. There's a lot of things that are possibility. And that people don't talk about it very much, but there are things going on. One of the things going on with that 9/11 situation is projected energy. That's a real hard thing to consider. How can we even consider that there could be projected energy? The reason is because those towers disintegrated before they hit the ground. That's why. And how could, you know, in the 100 years, roughly, of steel buildings, there have only been 3 total collapses of steel buildings, even when fires have raged in them for days. Only 3 instances of a steel frame building collapsing. And those were all in New York City on the same day. 9/11. I don't have the answers. I do have questions, and I don't quite know what to think of them. But they are questions, and people are asking more questions even after all this time. Big questions. I'm afraid they're going to be big answers, too. So it's only reasonable to look and to wonder. Remember human history. There's lots of things that were, for sure, we didn't know, and then we discovered something new. Look back to Copernicus in the early 1500s. Copernicus, he was the one who said that the solar system does not revolve around the Earth, that the Earth revolves around the sun. And do you know how many people wanted to kill him for saying that? He made enemies. People wanted to burn him at the stake because he was challenging their ideas. And that's the case where we may be at with this amazing 9/11 situation, which I have to say I don't understand either, but I have been amazed at the people that come out with rational discussion about it, that it wasn't as it appeared, that it could not have happened as it was shown to us. Yeah, study history. History shows us lots of deception, lots of problems, lots of situations. And what changes? The power structure changes. And I say this as a patriot. I'm a patriotic person. I want to see that things are entirely the best for our country and our people. And that's where I'm looking at this from. I want things to go well. Not bad. So we can discover things, we can see things just like Copernicus did, things that were never thought of before, things that we didn't believe before, and then all of a sudden a new reality gets exposed to, shown to us, and we suddenly believe it. Yeah, it could happen. We do have to be careful of that small core of people at the center of our institutions, whether they're financial institutions, government institutions, or power structures. There are core groups of people that are at the middle of all the institutions, and we, the ordinary citizens, have to struggle to understand what's really going on around us, because we don't know. And I don't mean I know either. I don't. I just have clues and indications, and I try to follow them out for what they mean. I have looked in history, and so I see situations that have developed, situations that happen, surprises, real things that really happen. And we have to, well, let's look at what the truth is. And I know truth. I think back to Pilate, who asked Jesus, "What is truth?" John 18, later on in that chapter, Pilate is asking Jesus, "What is truth?" Oh, I wish we had the answer. It just would have been really good. I know I look at these things, and I know another scripture is, we look through a glass darkly, a darkened glass. That's 1 Corinthians 13:12. And it talks about this. It talks about what it's like living We don't see things clearly. We don't have the answers that are clear. But we do keep looking. Proverbs 25, and that talks about God conceals things, and kings seek out the matter. That's what we do. We're kings and priests. We seek out the matters that are concealed to our normal view. So it's a good concept for us to remember. We want to search for the truth. Look and see. All these things, that's what we want to do. So we want to see what's going on in the public view and in the private view. Each one of these things we're trying to solve problems for. We're trying to make things good, right, and decent for everyone. And one element of that is responsibility. We want that. We want to see that people don't compromise, and of course that means us. Don't compromise on the truth. Make sure that we are right in God's sight. Let's share in comfort and joy. Believe in Jesus. And that's what we want. You know, in our lifespan has improved and increased. At the time of our Constitution, 1776, the average lifespan was 36. In 1900, it was 46. And today it is 78. So we have a life. We don't know how long it is. Everybody has a different lifetime, but we have certain expectations. Life is good. And then we get to go with heaven. So make sure that your position with Jesus is secure. Look at what he shows you. Look at those things. Seek the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. If we do have some difficult times, we want to be concerned about if the grid goes down. Have warmth, food, and cooking things, and hand tools. Warm clothes is good. Layers are good. Have your pants be a little large and a little small. Large in case you need to add clothes, small in case you lose weight. Food. Definitely have all sorts of food. Have tools for gardening. Be prepared to cook. All sorts of tools. Hand tools. Remember, we might not have electricity. Have a sharpener. Sharpeners are an often overlooked item. Be prepared to go places in the weather, in the rain. Remember that if there really is a serious situation, people will be scavenging for everything they can. There may be gangs of dozens of people in a gang. They will be seriously looking for your stuff. I don't mean to fight them. I don't know that anybody could fight them. But as a community, there is something you can do. So just keep your thoughts going. Have some examination of what could happen, and what steps you can do to prepare for it, like so many people are doing. You get to decide what it is and how much of anything it is. I think it's a good idea to remember Christian hymnals, because those are uplifting, and Bibles for everyone. So think about that, and I want to thank you for listening to Christ Today. Listen again to this or other broadcasts that are at www.christtoday.org. So may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Come.